This is October 24th? October 26th, Liz interviewing Dorothy. And I thought we would decide, we would begin with anything you wanted to say about the papers that you took home to read.
Okay, fine. First of all, you're going to put that in a book form.
That's what we're going to try to
Good.
Do.
Good. Let me know. I'd like to buy one.
Okay,
number one, you talked about witch hunting in one of your papers.
Oh, right, the McCarthy witch hunts.
There was two friends of mine that were in the Marines. They went together. And the one gal was so terrified of the witch hunt that was going on that I couldn't even talk. They were stationed in one was in Washington and one was in Georgia. And they came home on leave together. I couldn't even talk on the phone and say what I wanted because their phones were tapped up here.
And is that was, right? And you knew for sure they were tapped?
I knew for sure that they were tapped, and I knew all about the witch hunt. And Betty, fortunately, conducted herself in such a way that she escaped it. But I think the resultant terror of it, and now Betty was at this time about 45 years, 46 years old, and had never married, suddenly got married, and I think 90% of it was a repercussion from this having her mail opened, her phones listened to, every word she said had to be weighed, and I think it was just a terror and going and went in the opposite direction.
This was in the 1950s
this
or
was during the war?
During the war.
No, 44.
Do you think that they were after her, she knew that they were checking her because they thought she was a lesbian?
They were checking her and everybody in her platoon. It seemed that two of the gals had been caught, and then everybody got under suspicion because of it. Mm-hmm. Now, Betty looked and acted like a perfect lady. I mean, she wasn't a butch. She wasn't aggressive. She was a very good, hard-working person, very conscientious. But she came under the scrutiny, even though she was a captain, because everybody in her platoon did. Mm-hmm. And they really were pretty rotten about it. I mean, they thought nothing of opening your mail and hauling you out of bed in the middle of the night and questioning you. I know this for a fact, Betty, which I thought was absolutely horrible.
Do you know of other people who were in Buffalo who had this happen to them?
No.
Because that would be an interesting thing to. Is this woman Betty still around?
No. The one gal's out in Minnesota, and Betty is down in New York City. She hadn't even stayed down
there. That's really interesting.
But I was with her at. I mean, we were very good friends, and every time they came to town, they'd come over and see us. In fact, they said as long as they were in town, we should be careful of our phone.
Where was she stationed?
Washington.
D.C. or Washington
State? D.C.
Hmm. And they were just, were they into any kind of security work that you
know? No.
Just regular Marines?
Regular Marine Corps.
Hmm. Did you know if a lot of women who were Marines were lesbians at the time, or you don't know?
I wouldn't be able to give you a qualified figure because of the group of girls I knew from Buffalo that went into the Marines. I mean, I don't know whether that would be a valid criteria of all of the Marines or not.
But did Betty ever tell you that, and give you any idea
yeah,
of
Yeah, she thought a great many of them were.
She thought
many.
They were, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's but that witch hunt was for real during the war. There was no joke. It was horrible. I mean, their mail would be opened, every phone call, everywhere they went, everything they did.
Well, what were they after that they really thought it was so terrible that women
would be because if they were lesbian or if they were admitted or acted as a homosexual, they were kicked out of the service. Which I couldn't see being a lesbian had anything to do with the quality of their work.
I know, it's hard to imagine.
In fact, they probably were better.
Right,
they probably were. They weren't out dating yet.
Right. That is something. But I do know there's somebody doing research on a whole group of either Marines or Navy waves who were expelled from the Army in the South Seas and during World War I know that it was going on.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think that sort of thing naturally I would think it's horrible.
Right. Huh. And this would be like 42, 45?
42 to 46.
42 to 46. Okay, anything else you want to talk about that before we move on to something else? Maybe I should stop and check.
You talked about one point about the number of fights at the carousel.
Uh-huh.
From about 54, 55 to around 60, well, until the carousel went out of business, and I'd forgotten the year. Actually, there was only two fights I had ever seen in there, and I was in there quite frequently. I mean, definitely I was in a Saturday night, and once in a while during the week. Mm-hmm. And the only time that there were these two fights, I remember very distinctly that the gal I was with said, "Oh, there's a fight," and we ducked out the side door and went home because we didn't want any part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fighting or an aggressive person.
Did you know that that bingos and those street bars, did you know that they were known for their fights?
I have was in bingo once. I hated every minute of it.
Okay, hold on one minute. Saying that you were only in bingos once and you hated every minute of it. Why is that?
Well, it was a dirty place. It was a crowded place. It was a noisy place. It wasn't the sort of place I enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
It was body, arm to arm, wall to wall people, and then I don't like that sort of thing.
And what made the carousel different?
It was clean. It was orderly. It was well kept. As I said, I only saw two fights, and those were stopped right there. If anybody acted up, they were banned, as per your book. And I used to know some of the bartenders, both the boys and the girls. And boy, if they banned you, that was it. You were out.
You were out, huh?
You were out if you tried to start anything that was not in accordance with good practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or good social behavior.
What about fights in the alley? People mentioned that, although fights weren't
allowed,
you never saw any of them.
No.
We have been given the impression that as the 50s went on, that more of the bingos crowd started coming into the carousel, like by 58, 59, and that's when the fights started increasing. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
No, huh?
Not to me, but that might have been at the time that I was decreasing going to bars, because I know around... 63, 64, I went to bars rarely. In fact, some of the places mentioned, I never even knew about.
Like which ones? Chesterfield?
Yes, that was one I didn't know.
Mardi Gras?
No, I was in the Mardi Gras once.
Pats?
Pats I didn't know anything about.
Dugan's?
No.
Okay.
5 o'clock, four of us used to go, two of the boys and the girl I was going with, the four of us used to go from Carol's, we'd go to the 5, mm-hmm. or we'd start out at the 5. So I was quite familiar with the 5 o'clock clientele.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was accepted there because I didn't raise a big rumpus or anything. I just went in there quietly with Chuck and Dan and Sue and I, and we'd stand and have a few drinks, go home.
Did you go to Johnny's 68?
No. I had heard about it, but I was never
You were never there. Mm-hmm. Was that because your friends didn't go there? Or
mm-hmm.
Was it a less nice place than the 5
well,
o'clock?
Well, we apparently understood it wasn't quite as nice and therefore didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
We primarily at that time went to Carol's and the 5.
And wasn't the 5 o'clock a good distance from Carol's or not?
Well, yes. 5 o'clock was on Delaware near the Chesame, and, which was right above Delaware and Huron. And Carol's was on Ellicott Street.
Right, so you'd go
but
by car.
But we had cars, so there was no big deal there.
When you went to Carol's, when did you start going to the carousel?
Gotta think back. I think around 1954. I'm not too sure of that date. 54 or 55. And at that point, I wasn't going with anybody. And one of the boys took me. And this was when she was on Chippewa Street. And the following week, her... A couple weeks later, she moved up on
Ellicott.
And around 56, 55, I began going there fairly regularly.
And then a little bit later, then that's when, oh, I know. Did you notice that at first, when you first started going to Carol's, were there men and women?
Yeah.
More women than men or equal?
Depended on the night, depended upon who's out. Sometimes there were more men, sometimes there were fewer men.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the night, and as I said, who just happened to be out.
When you went, did you go into the back room or stay in the front in the bar?
Either and or both. I was in the front as much as I was in the back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because some people had given us an impression impression that by 58 or 59, the Bingos crowd started going into the carousel, and they used to go into the back room.
Yeah, as far as I know. The only time I went in the back room was when we went back there to dance.
Mm-hmm. Who would stay back there in general? Younger people?
I think it would just float back and forth.
Well, back and forth. There weren't
people. That was when I was going there. Now, that could be different at different times.
Uh-huh. And so when you were going there, were there tables that people would sit at back there?
Uh-huh. There were a few tables back there, not too many.
Mainly it was dancing. And did men dance back there as well as women, or was it all women?
Not too frequently. Occasionally, mm-hmm. but not too much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Niagara, Ryan's Club Niagara, I think I was in once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a circle of friends that you hung out with at the carousel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both boys and girls, to which some of us are friends even today.
Mm-hmm. Were they the same friends from Ralph Martin's?
Mm-hmm.
So between 19, let's say, when did Ralph Martin's close?
Yeah, I don't know.
You think it was closed by 1950?
Well, it was closed when I was going to Carol's.
Right.
So I really couldn't tell you.
That was 54. Like, between Ralph Martin's and Carol's, did you ever go to the bars?
No, and that was because, let's see, from 1938 to 1946. After 1946, there was a period there of time until almost 55 that I didn't go to bars at all. Where? I was going with, didn't go to bars.
Who was that?
She was social worker, psychiatry.
And she didn't go to bars
no.
at all? Did you miss going to the bar?
No.
You didn't at all miss
no.
it? So what did you all do?
Oh, theaters, plays, go to New York weekends. She was taking a special course at the Psychiatric Institute, and so I used to fly down every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and we'd take in the news to the shows and concerts and that.
Did you miss your friends who you used to know from Ralph Martin?
Yes, I did. But I had dropped out of circulation, but then when I started going into Carol's, we all picked up again, we're friends even today.
Huh. That's interesting, the fact that you would, for a person you were going with, drop those old friends. Like,
well, I didn't drop them. It's just that she didn't, because of her position, she had to be careful as to what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the youngest supervisor in the state of New York
mm-hmm.
at that point. She was a very brilliant gal.
Mm-hmm.
And taught me a lot of things. Good things. I mean, for example, how do you lobster properly?
That's an important question. Now, come on, what else did she teach you?
How to enjoy opera, how to enjoy ballet.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
My grandfather was such, see, he was a dual graduate, and my grandfather was such that my folks were very, very good, honest, Christian, living people, and didn't particularly care for ballet or opera.
Mm-hmm. So this was a whole new world for you. Did you all have friends at that time who were more like her, or were you pretty much a couple on your own?
Well, we had some friends that were pretty much like us at that time, but it was a different crowd that went to the bar. She wasn't
mm-hmm.
a bar crowd.
Right. And how did you meet those friends?
Well, some of them had gone to bars, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And dropped out of going to bars just the way I did. In fact, some of them were still friends with some of the boys and some of the girls. I am.
Mm-hmm. And would you all sometimes have parties?
Uh-huh.
But they would be small, quiet parties, right?
Dinner parties.
Dinner parties, not
mm-hmm.
big dancing parties
no.
or
no.
drinks or
no.
whatever. Dinner parties. And how would you all work it if they were dinner parties? Would you and Susan cook all the food, or would she?
You know, we would cook together. She'd do something and I'd do something. And like I said, the table, and I might peel the potatoes and she might fix the roast. And yeah, we just sort of we both pitched in, because I have never believed particularly, as I told you, I didn't particularly go for butch knife.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you are an intelligent person, you can do anything that you can learn. You can learn anything if you want to, if you want to learn badly enough. And that just includes cooking, cleaning the house, and anything else on that line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't see where, if I'm a butcher, I can't cook.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but it's an interesting thing. But I was asking something else, like when you have a dinner party, would you as a couple be responsible for preparing everything and
mm-hmm.
having the drinks,
mm-hmm.
and then another night you go
mm-hmm.
to somebody else's house?
Right.
So, and would people have pretty full bars then, like
people would have a lot to drink around and stuff like that, or
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's see if there's anything else. Well, it's interesting. Why don't we talk a little bit? We'll be jumping around, but actually that's interesting, the issue that you raised of not believing in housework divisions and cooking. So you and Susan would cook equally.
Right.
Well, was she more talented as a cook, or were you more talented as a cook?
I don't know. We each had our specialty.
We each had our specialty. And what about dishwashing and tasks in the house? How did you do that?
Equal. Work together. Why
mm-hmm.
not?
Mm-hmm. Was that how most of your friends were?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Some of the butch night crowd.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was very distinct. The women did the cooking and the butchers would do the putting up the storm windows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, I go back to, why should there be a line of demarcation?
Yeah, it is curious.
If any of you want to do it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to cook, you can learn how to cook. If you want to wash windows, you can learn how to wash windows. What's the big deal?
Now, both of you were working and bringing in a check,
right.
too.
Right.
So. Okay, moving right on. What else did you want to talk about?
Page 23. I disagreed with the role-playing bit, which I was just telling you.
Good. Let's find page 23 and what we said. Which one was this, the 50s or the second one? Page 20.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Let's see.
I think it was the...
let's see.
The one that had the role playing.
Okay, every one of our narrators describes the behavior of butchers and femmes in the bar in basically the same way. As a butcher with a leader and the protector.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, if you were a butcher, you went to the bar with your femme and set her down at a table and she didn't move till
no,
you pick it up.
The
that's
birds.
What you just said.
The birds.
Okay, that's important. Well, already we've just started talking
right.
about that. So,
I mean, if somebody wanted to come up and dance with the person I was with, so what? I would dance with somebody else. This is not the end of the world. She had a right to live and breathe. She had a right to be an individual. Whoever I'm going with
mm-hmm.
has a right to be an individual and be their own person. I don't go for dominating their every thought, word, or deed. That's ridiculous.
Okay, let me answer something else. Do you think there were some people who were into this?
Oh,
this
yes.
Class? Okay, so now we want to hear about what other people went to, okay? So then we can add that dimension. Actually, you're not the first person who we've interviewed who said that they weren't into roles in the 50s, that they said sometimes they had to pretend that they were, or they couldn't have gotten by.
Well, you see, as I said about that butch name, this, I merely said I don't enjoy that sort of thing and didn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, I don't think they appreciate, because then going down on a Friday night and putting a foot up on the bar rail and being real big butch is a real big thing. Well, to me, it's ridiculous. It was a waste of time.
What pleasure do you think they got?
Macho feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The big I am. Rough, strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do this or that. That's ridiculous.
Was it hard to find people who were more like you, or were there a group of people who were like you?
There was a group of people. So I said, the Ralph Martin crowd, the big butch type, I sort of gently walked away from. And of course, the night that the four of us went down and touched some gowns, carried nine gowns, and Roy and Andy and touched us after going to this dinner dance, that was the night I was wiped out as a butch. I was the dress, the gown. And of course, I was just funny enough to walk out there, walk in there in a gown with my chin up and sit in the head with it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I could find it, don't I couldn't care less.
Uh-huh.
I was having fun. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I had been to a dinner dance, which again was the social dress. The long gown was the thing to wear at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can wear a gown today. I wore them all my clothes right now. Maybe if I have to, I wear them. I don't enjoy them. But if I have to, I put them on and I'll say, why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting why some people were more into roles than others. Did you ever used to talk about that?
Yes.
And why do you think, what do you think about? One was being macho, all right?
Well, it's just their own ego. She's building up her own ego. I am the great I am.
was swimming in Jersey, used to bat your net around when she got drunk. And I used to think that was horrible. Because I'm very opposed to physical violence. You just don't go around hitting other people. It's not done. Maybe the reason why two intelligent people can't sit down and talk something through.
Now, there were a lot of intelligent people in that crowd, like who used to be into being butch, like Fox or...
Yeah, who was one of the top radiologists in this city.
And
Fox, by the way, has gotten much more feminine. Even more dressed in the church now. I don't see too much of her, but I've seen her in it.
So why do you think somebody like her would be into roles?
I don't know, but she and Skip were two of the leading role players at that time of that particular crowd, of which I was, as I said, I'm a friend because I didn't go for that.
Well, when you think about them now, or when you thought about them then, why did you think they were into it?
Ego. They had to establish they're lesbians and couldn't, well, Skip didn't care who knew she was a lesbian. And every doctor in town knew she was, but she was such a marvelous lab technician that nobody cared. And she left a beautiful business to her girlfriend. But Fox and some of the others, I think, were fighting the fact that they were lesbian, and this is their one way of striking back. It was Friday night, and I don't care who sees me there, by that sort of attitude. That's something I can figure. What would you think? What would you think?
Well, it's interesting. It's a very important part of lesbian history, dress, and dress in more manly ways, and being into roles. There's no question about it. And I guess I was, one of the things we've come up, that it was a way of people being public about who they were.
I had a laugh when I got to the part about the Chippewa Street, the tailor, because I had gone down there and I had flags made there.
You had?
Oh, yeah. Remember I said that the last time?
Right, that's right.
But the reason I went there is that they fitted them so properly and they had beautiful material. And I never have gone for fly fronts. I just, to me, a fly front belongs to a man and not to me. Because I'm not a man. I have no occasion or need of a fly front, physically speaking.
Did you ever respect, like, let's say when these women dressed as butchers and with their femmes going down the street, they clearly were announcing that they were lesbians, right?
Right.
Did you ever kind of feel that they were doing a good, did you think they were doing a good thing for lesbians or a bad thing?
I didn't think it was too good because they were, everybody that looked at them would sneer and scorn and be critical, and you could see other people doing that. I at one point went with a gal that was very, very butch. She's never had a dress on in her life. She used to come to work in coveralls, and this was before this day and age. I'm talking 42, 45, with a lunch bucket. And at one point, I was pretty enamored of her.
This is when you were going with Harriet?
Well, this is partly, yes, partly then. Because this Harriet was going out with somebody who I did at that point. And Ruth was strictly butch, and I know if we went into a restaurant or a tavern or anything, I would sort of cringe at the way people would look at it. Because obviously she wasn't so-called norm and was frowned upon.
But the other side of that is that those women who did that meant that they were making some public space for lesbians. Did you ever think of it like that or never?
Not necessarily. Not if they're being scornful. They could make their way as a lesbian without, shall I say, shocking the general public. I think there's other ways to attain that end of lesbianism. Such as some of like Growth Now or Country Friends Now.
But were there those choices then?
No, but there could have been. I belong to Country Friends, incidentally.
Right, you mentioned that.
You haven't had one until you said that.
This Saturday night?
I haven't decided I'm going to wear it yet. Yeah, I had them at my house. We have these other houses over these 3 4 weeks.
Were you ever in a group like Country Friends or whatever before the last few years? Like, were there groups like that in 1940, 1950 at all?
No.
No, you never had a group like that. Did you have any other points you wanted to make?
No, I guess we pretty well covered. That's a, and so that the other material in the paper.
I quite agree with Smokey.
You quite agree with
that? 90% of it.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that's good. Well, that's very helpful. Your points about.
I'm not meaning to ridicule those girls. As you said, they might have had a point in educating the public, but I feel sometimes they did more harm than good.
Uh-huh, like what?
Like the criticism, the sneering glances at those that were separate from the norm. And even today, I think you see some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lesbian isn't accepted yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I know, I'm chairman of the telephone committee. Because we're trying to enlarge our group, and we have put several ads in several
This is Country
papers.
Friends?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we put several ads in, and then we say, you know, answer to
mm-hmm.
Doc so-and-so. And Lynn, a gal who is one of the editors of Carolina News, she's the ad writer, and I'm the telephone contact girl. And I know sometimes when I say, well, you know, this is a gay group now. we laugh about it.
You say that on the phone, and the people can figure it out, huh?
Well, one gal, I said, you know, this is a gay group, and this is a little Polish lady, I guess, was about, well, I presume from her age about 50, and she said, what's that? And I said, well, it's a group of lesbians, and we get together. What's that? And I had to go in further. No, thank you. I don't think I would be interested. I said, thank you, kindly.
That's wonderful.
But Lynn, while she can write the beautiful letters and the ads and all that, she doesn't like the voice contact yet. Well, so they don't know who she is. An ad, and so I didn't hear that. I'm just careful with telephone contact.
That's wonderful.
What we're trying to do is get a group of all ages.
Uh-huh.
And we have a pretty good, I think I'm about the oldest, but all I can say is I've only been to two meetings, and when I went in for my surgery, I got a call every day from them, and I got flowers, and when I got home, I had a call almost just about every day, and they always come and see me, both at the hospital and home, and I'd only been to two meetings.
That's amazing. That is wonderful.
That really amazed me.
Mm-hmm.
But we have it at different people's houses, and everybody brings what they eat or drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I, for the fun of it, because they were so good to me, I had hot odors when they were at my house. I could price them.
When you were in the 40s or the 50s, did you have friends that were as close as that, that would call you every day to see how you were, or
oh,
you were sick?
Yeah.
So that you've always had friends in the lesbian community,
yeah.
that's not...
Very close to me.
Right.
Back one gal. She's no longer in the loon. She just died about a month ago. Somebody was very, very close to me. And I know one time I had bronchitis, which was again during the war. And the phone was right next to my bed.